Well, this is our fifth of five sermons based on the first letter of John. I hope that at least some of you have read through 1 John. It's a short letter, only five chapters. It takes 10, 20 minutes to read it. That's just reading it. Absorbing it, really taking in all the content of it, that's a much longer process. And that's what we need to continue to do with 1 John and actually with all of Scripture, to continue to read it and absorb it and pray through it, taking it all in. A steady theme in 1 John, as I mentioned last week, is the theme of love. In this brief letter, he used the word love 35 times, which is more consistently and more often than any other book in the Bible, the whole Bible. Love is a dominant theme and a dominant reality for John. Paired with love is another theme, truth. Although John didn't use the word truth as much as he used the word love, truth is like a hand in a glove for John. For all of us, it should be. Like this from 1 John 3, verse 18. If any of you sees a sister or brother in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in you? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Let's show the truth. And this from 1 John 2, verse 4. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commands, that person is a liar and isn't living in the truth. Love and truth are very strong themes in John. So now listen to today's text. I've shifted it a bit from what's printed in the bulletin. I'll be reading from 1 John 4, 19 through 5, verse 5. We love God because He first loved us. If we say we love God yet hate a brother or a sister, we are liars. If we do not love a fellow believer whom we have seen, we cannot love God whom we have not seen. And He has given us this command. Those who love God must also love one another. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is the word of the Lord. Truth and love, they fit tightly together for John, and they fit tightly together with us too, or at least they need to. If we genuinely love someone, think of a spouse or sibling, a child, a neighbor, one expression of love is to be simply straight up truthful, consistently truthful. Lying or using half-truths quickly poisons relationships. Half-truths are the ways that we interpret things, telling only part of the story to shed good light on us, but not the whole story. Half-truths are first cousins to lies. And they don't reflect love. Truth is vital in relationships. Truth has to be there if love is to be there. And by the very nature of love, if genuine love is there, truth will be there as well. I've worked with a lot of people through the years where I've seen the devastating impact of lies. Lies destroy marriages. Lies turn the safety of a home into absolute chaos. Lies destroy, but truth has the capacity to restore. Truth can sometimes be very hard to give, and it can be hard to receive. But it's what we need to cling to have wholeness in life, in love, and in relationships. I once heard a drug and alcohol rehab counselor talk about the complexities of addiction, all the layers and layers of things that go into addiction and addictive behavior. Of the many things he said, one that I remember most clearly is this. He said, sobriety is a lot more than just not drinking or doing drugs. That's only part of it. Sobriety is telling the truth. Sobriety is telling the truth. It's about telling the truth and coming to grips with the truth. In doing so, we acknowledge that we are not as right or as innocent or on top of things as we might have thought or as we want to portray ourselves. None of us are. There are a lot of things in us, in our very souls, that need change and that need healing, that need truth. Things that need to have truth told. That rehab counselor didn't say this, but I will. In all those many things that we all carry, what is most needed is the transforming power of Jesus Christ. In us, between us and others, and between us and God. The transforming power of Christ. Living by truth and living by love is very much about what John wrote about in this letter. He steadily asserts that love and truth are critical in our life in Christ and critical in our life with each other. But here's another part of it. As crucial as it is to know this for ourselves, the truth that we are loved, that we are forgiven, that we are transformed by Him. This truth has an outward propulsion to it. It's given to us to go somewhere. It's given to us to go outward toward others. That's the love and truth that reshapes us and that reshapes our relationships and that, by God's grace, can reshape this world. But there are plenty of forces at work against this. Powerful things that can take root in us and influence us. Some of them are lies and half-truths about Jesus and about what it means to follow Him, what it is to be followers of Jesus in this complicated world. And so we come to a really challenging word in chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. John wrote, "Everyone born of God overcomes the world." This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it who overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus Christ is Son of God. In Greek, the word overcome is nikeo, from which the company Nike got its name. Nikeo, Nike. Nikeo means victory, conquering, winning. So it's a fitting name for an athletic clothing and gear company who get endorsements by people like the Michael Jordans of this world, amazing athletes who are gifted and focused and so disciplined in what they do. But what does this mean for followers of Jesus? That we are overcomers. Because we all know of many things that can overcome us. They can overwhelm us. Pain, grief, sorrow, health issues, money issues. For some, it's addiction issues. So how are we overcomers? The best way I understand this is by way of two anchor points. One is that by faith in Jesus Christ, we are promised that we are not abandoned. We are not abandoned. We are not on our own, no matter how long or hard or painful, whatever it is, might be. And that can push us right to the very edge, can't it? When pain or fear or worry or anxiety, when these overwhelm us and our prayers to God seem to be unanswered and whatever it is just keeps on going, that can be a very desperate and despairing place. To speak to this, I want to shift from John to the Apostle Paul. In Romans 8, Paul used this very same word, overcomer, but he added a prefix onto it, the prefix hyper, hyper-overcomer. In Romans 8, he wrote, "We are more than conquerors. We are more than overcomers through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. That's one anchor point. One solid truth to claim through Jesus Christ. That whatever may come at us, with whatever overwhelming force or power, we are never separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's a truth. A truth to hang on to and a truth to hold in our hearts. And that leads to the second anchor point, the second truth. In chapter 4, John wrote about the challenges followers of Christ face in this world, including persuasive false teachings, lies and half-truths by people who may claim to be followers of Jesus, but their actions and their influence are anything but reflecting Christ. John wrote, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. This comes from what John wrote in his gospel, quoting Jesus. At the end of John 16, after a long section of Jesus teaching his followers, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." That's another truth to hang on to hide in our hearts. That the one who by faith is in us, Jesus Christ, is greater than all the other forces in the world, including evil, including sin, including the things that we get swept up in. And Jesus has come to bring us peace, his peace, even in the midst of trouble. Well, we live in a time when more and more cultural commentators are calling this a post-truth era. And truth is taking a beating, isn't it? There are the ongoing hot political fights that spill off the news and into our relationships and into our homes, to the point where we can't even talk about some things, fearing the anger that will come out. And in that area, what you or I may believe to be true, someone else will claim is naive or biased, that we don't know the whole story. And in that sort of climate, with truth being reinterpreted in all kinds of ways, what else takes a beating? Love. Love takes a beating. Love for each other, love for our neighbors, love for people of a different perspective. And all this can be overwhelming, overcoming, and so very divisive and so lacking in love. But we are called overcomers, right? Through Jesus, we are called overcomers. People who don't get swept up with all the things of the world. We are invited by Jesus to be people who hold tightly onto both of these. Real truth and real love, even when we are challenged by truth we don't really want to hear and by love we don't really want to give away. Even when we are challenged by truth that doesn't fit within the narrative we like and by love that is hard to be graciously given. And this is why this morning, as we prepare for communion, we'll take a few moments for truth-telling with God. It's called confession of sin. Remembering what that rehab counselor said about sobriety is telling the truth. Truth-telling and confession is really an act of sobriety for all of us. It's telling the truth about ourselves to God, trusting in his promises that he really does love us with a relentless, pursuing love. And he already knows the whole story. Our half-truths won't make it. He knows the whole story, including the things that we confess, and who still says, "Come, talk with me, sit with me, because I love you so very much. It's also a way to invite God to speak truth into us, to redirect us from lies and half-truths that we can get tangled in whatever area of our lives, asking Him to overcome those powerful things, and for us to pursue, above all, truth and love through Jesus Christ. Truth and love that is meant to go somewhere, into us and out from us to others. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. Speak your truth into us, your truth of forgiveness and grace, your truth of powerful new life in you, your truth that as the one who graciously enters into us, you are greater than all the other powers of this world. As we sing and then as we confess and receive forgiveness, as we receive the bread and cup and anointing of oil, or for those who choose simply to sit in prayer today, fill us with your amazing love. We pray all of this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. You'll be invited to come forward for communion today. Gluten-free will be on this side and also by servers in the back. During this process of coming forward, as you are led, if you would like to have prayer of healing for whatever sort, we'll have two people at the kneeling rail. You can go over there. Your prayers will be kept confidential with them and the pastoral staff. Please prepare your hearts for this time at the Lord's table.
Oh.